taking a look at the leaderboards. It's the Tire Kingdom Leaderboard Report, brought to you by Tire Kingdom. Service, brakes, batteries, and more. Call 1-800-NEW-TIRE to be directly connected to your closest Tire Kingdom. PGA Tour is in the Lone Star State. It's the Valero Texas Open in San Antonio on probably one of the shortest courses that the pros will play all year. 6,881-yard par 70 track at La Cantera Golf Club in San Antonio. And after three rounds of play, Rory Sabatini.
Your favorite, Russ.
Oh, I can't stand him. And it's been a good year for me because I haven't heard a lot from Rory. He's been struggling, so I've been very happy about that. But after three rounds of play, Rory Sabatini leads at 14 under par, 196. Rounds of 67, 66, and then a 7 under par 63 yesterday on his third round. Zach Johnson, another guy we haven't heard a lot from this year, is one stroke back in second at 13 under par, three-way tie for third. Tim Wilkinson, Tim Heron, and Chris Stroud are all at minus 11, and then you've got five more players, another shot back at 10 under par, four off the pace of Sabatini. Joe Ogilvie, Michael Thompson, Jeff Overton, Tim Petrovic, and former Honda Classic champion Mark Wilson. So a couple of good-looking names on this leaderboard, and of course at the top, the final pairing today on the final round Sunday, Pat, is Rory Sabatini and Zach Johnson. These are two guys who haven't won in a while. Neither of them have won so far this year. So, you know, looking at a win in the fall series, perhaps kind of making their year for them going into 2009.
You know, I was listening to XM Radio on the way up here, Russ, and PGA Tour golf show, and they were talking with Sabatini, and they were asking him, you know, he had a couple top five finishes to start the year, and then he's done nothing, like you said, the rest of the year. He found out that his degrees on his irons were, like, all screwed up. Like, I don't know how a pro doesn't know. Like, he said there was a 9-degree difference between his sand wedge and his pitching wedge, which,
wow,
like, caused haywire when he was on his, you know, 120 to 140-yard shots or whatever it is.
Usually wedge increments are between 4 and 5 degrees.
Right. So he found out, and he did this with, like, all of his irons, and he found out there was huge discrepancies in between some of them. I don't understand, Russ, how a pro goes through basically the whole year and doesn't know, like, you know, all of a sudden you're hitting your wedge like 100 yards instead of hitting it, you know, 110 or 115, which is big with a pro, and hitting your sand wedge a different yardage than you normally hit it, and not know that there's something vastly wrong. If you're basically putting the same swings on everything, you know, I don't understand how. I remember Justin Rose a few years ago, Russ, had, like, you know, and I'm not into the weights of the shafts and stuff, but there's like D0, D1, D,
right,
whatever it is.
Sure, yeah.
Well, his weight is supposed to be like D5 or whatever on his, and it was D0.
Right.
And he didn't know that. And he was hitting his drivers like all over the place, and it was causing him tournaments.
And typically shaft weights range from like about 40 grams to around 80 grams, depending on if you want a light shaft to, you know, swing faster, obviously, or a heavier shaft. Sometimes the guys that swing the fastest want the heavier shafts to kind of slow them down a little bit and give them better tempo. So, you know, equipment's a big thing. And you're exactly right, Pat. I'm surprised that a PGA Tour pro, especially of a caliber of a Rory Sabatini, who's, you know, up until this year was a top 20 ranking in the world. You know, I think this year he's fallen to around the 40s or 50s because he's had a poor year. But I'm surprised. I mean, they've got equipment guys at every single tour stop.
Right.
They have a chance to go to the facilities, the training, the testing facilities. Most of them are in California and Carlsbad. You know, they can go there and swing and have their clubs looked at. I'm surprised that there'd be a problem with equipment. I mean, that's the one thing you would think that'd be taken care of for you on the tour.
I mean, if he's with Nike or Ping or whoever he's with.
Well, he used to. Well, this is a thing. You know, this is interesting. He was with Nike up until the end of last year. There was a thought that his contract was not renewed because of the spiff he had with Tiger Woods. So his Nike contract was not renewed. He's now with Adams this year. So there was a change in equipment.
Well, then that's what
at
happened.
At the end of 07. Apparently, so this is possibly what happened. He left Nike at the end of last year, took up with Adams this year. He's hitting a couple more hybrids because of that. Adams markets those hybrid clubs. So, but perhaps in the equipment change, things got mixed up and he got the wrong stuff.
I guarantee you that's exactly what happened. And instead of like going back immediately to Adams and saying something is really wrong with these irons, he probably thought, well, it's just something with me. I got to get the feel for these irons. You know, you and I have switched irons a bunch in our career. I finally really settled on Ping. That's a club I like.
Right.
I know what I get from it. But nonetheless, I've hit other irons before, and there is an adjustment period where you just figure, okay, I hit this wedge, I hit the Nike wedge, you know, 140 yards, and I hit my Ping wedge 130. or whatever.
Relatively the same, right.
But, you know, this seems like it was so radically different than what he normally would hit his club that I'm just surprised after a couple weeks he didn't go back to Adams and say something's wrong here. You know, you guys got to, you know, figure out what the angle is or, you know, the loft, whatever the problem was, and get it straightened out instead of going through basically 4 or 5 months just, you know, not knowing what was the problem. So I guess it goes to show you tour players are not immune to, you know, a lot of the struggles that we have as amateurs, right. Just figuring out there's something wrong with me. Maybe sometimes it is something wrong with
you. So Rory Sabatini goes into today's final round with that one-shot lead, 14 and a par after three rounds of play. Zach Johnson, a stroke back. That's your final pairing today in San Antonio. Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic on ESPN Radio 760. It's the Tire Kingdom Leaderboard Report brought to you by Tire Kingdom. Service, brakes, batteries, and more. Call 1-800-NEW-TIRE to be directly connected to your closest Tire Kingdom. And the ladies this weekend are in California at the Long's Drugs Challenge, 6,185-yard par 72 track at the Blackhawk Country Club, Danville, California. After three rounds of play, In-Kyung Kim leads at 11 under par. Angela Stanford, just won a couple weeks back, is one shot back in second at minus 10. Yanni Tseng and Molly Frankhauser are both at 6 under par. Christy McPherson alone in fifth at minus 5. Then Sarah Kemp and Lorena Ochoa. The theme going into this week was Ochoa was looking for Ocho, as in her eighth victory on the tour, but she struggled this week. She kind of blew up yesterday with a 2-over par round of 74, and she is at minus 4 after three rounds of play, 7 shots back at Kim. But, Pat, I got to point out Morgan Pressel, because I think that's the biggest story here locally. Morgan Pressel is a long ways down this leaderboard. She is at plus 7, 223. She's had rounds this week of 74, 74, and 75. So she's been over par all 3 days. She goes into today's final round 18 shots back of Kim, and she's only got 3 more events after this week, and they're all overseas. This is the final event in the mainland before they go to Hawaii and then Korea and then Japan. Morgan Pressel looking like she is not going to be in the hometown event at Trump International.
No, it's been a really rough year for her, and, you know, hey, players are going to go through that kind of stuff. I think you said, Russ, maybe, you know, she was getting a little big-headed or something after winning last year.
I think that
was a factor.
I thought that, Pat, at the end of last year, and then I saw her earlier this year at the Stanford down in Aventura at Turnberry, and I just had a feeling, you know, she had a glitzy, you know, Mercedes little two-door coupe, and she had a vanity plate on it, and I saw her driving out, and I just me looking at her, and this is opinion, this is not fact, but I just saw a girl that I thought was getting a little ahead of herself, and her head was getting a little too big, and I think she might have gotten overexposed over the last year. She's doing commercials all over the place and, you know, different things, and probably had a lot of people telling her how good she is, and she started believing it, and then she stopped working, perhaps. And the biggest thing was her grandfather, Herb Crickstein, saying this year, you know, if she wants to be in the top 10 in the world, if she wants to be competing with the Annika Sorenstams and Lorena Ochoa, she's going to have to work harder than she is. When your grandfather's telling you that, it's probably the truth.
That's probably the truth. But I got a couple observations about this event. Number one, you talk about short courses, Russ. 6,100-yard par 72. I mean, I don't know, unless there's a lot of dog legs or something. That is really short, even for the ladies. The second thing is, I noticed the cuts, and we talked about this just prior to the show, they only cut like 10 ladies from this thing, which is very bizarre. Like you said, there is a bunch of players that are not close in this thing.
There are about 80 players who made the cut. There's close to 90. I didn't count them all, but the leaderboard here in today's Palm Beach Post is about twice as long as the leaderboards for the Champions Tour event and the PGA Tour event. And there's players down at the bottom. I mean, Christina Kim right now is at plus 13. And
yeah, she's, what, 24 shots
out
of the lead?
She's 24 shots out of the lead, and she made the cut.
I mean, she's probably not even looking forward to playing today, just like trying to get it in. I don't understand. If you're going to have a cut. Get rid of half the field. That's, I think, logistically what you're trying to do.
Right.
They literally only got rid of about 10 to 12 players. And the other thing, you mentioned it, and we talked to Nancy Lopez a couple weeks ago about this. After this, they go to Korea, Japan, wherever they're going. That is completely – I know there's a lot of foreign players on the LPGA Tour, but you've got to Americanize this thing a little bit better than this. I mean, having them go – you know, they start out the season, I think, in all wacky parts of the world, and then they end the season the same way.
Right.
And I just don't think that's – you know, for TV reasons and for, you know, just general public interest, I'm talking about America – you know, unfortunately, that's the way, you know, the world is. I mean, we're very U.S.-centric here, Russ. And I don't know if they're going to get the audience – I know they're, I understand they've got a lot of Korean players, they've got a lot of Japanese players, whatever, and you want to get out there. But they should be silly season type events in a way, maybe one or two events in Korea.
Right.
But not the, I don't know how many events they have.
I'm taking a look at the schedule, Pat, and you're exactly right. I mean, they started the year off in January in South Africa. Then they go to Hawaii in February. Then the next, they're in Hawaii for 2 weeks in February, which is not that bad. I mean, it is a state, although it's not contiguous, not part of the Great 48. But then they're in Singapore the last week of February, the first time, and then Mexico City after that. And by the way, the LPGA now has, obviously, Lorena Ochoa, their number one player. LPGA this year now has three tournaments in Mexico. The MasterCard in Mexico City, the Corona Championship, with which Lorena won this year, in Morelia, Mexico. And then the Lorena Ochoa Invitational, which is the week before the ADT. That's one of the four coming up that's international. I mean, the next 4 weeks after this week's in California, they go to Kapalua in Hawaii, then South Korea, then Japan for the Mizuno, and then to Mexico for the Lorena Ochoa Invitational. And then they come back to West Palm Beach for the ADT at Trump International. So they start the year in South Africa, Hawaii, Singapore, Mexico City. First week they're in the mainland is the final weekend of March, when they're in Arizona for the Safeway. And then they end the year in kind of the same way before they bring it back to West Palm Beach.
I just think, and I completely agree with Nancy Lopez, it's just way too convoluted. There's too much going on with that. I mean, you know, try and maybe have your out of the United States events in a certain time period that follows logically. I don't mind the three events in Mexico, although I think that's probably one too many.
I think it is as
well.
But
nonetheless, you know, have it follow some type of a pattern so people can get used to the schedule and know, oh, it's March, the LPGA's in Arizona. Just like it was with the PGA Tour. You know, you started in California, you started in Hawaii, then you
California
went to California,
swing,
Florida.
Texas events,
you know, you got used to that, and that's what made golf great. You sort of got a sense of where you were in the calendar by where they were playing, and you got a sense of, hey, it's almost the time for the Masters, and that meant spring was here. And then you got into May and, you know, the U.S. Open in June, and it just followed much more logic, and the PGA Tour is getting away from that, too.
Well, I'll tell you what. You just mentioned something that jogged my memory. I read last week that the Valero is now moving back to a regular season
They're putting
event.
It in May or something.
So now they're going to have a Texas swing again
next year.
And
that's good.
Which
that's
is
what
nice.
They should do.
You're going to have three straight weeks next year in 2009. Colonial, Byron Nelson, Valero, Texas Open. Kind of nice.
I completely agree with
Texas
that.
The Texas swing is now back in
have some
on the
logic
PGA Tour.
To what you're doing here. In LPGA, you need to borrow a little bit of – I know you're chasing the money and you're going to where you need to go, but at the same time, I just think I don't know. I just don't think people in the U.S., which is where you really have to try to appeal, are going to be following events in Korea, Japan, and Hawaii.
Well, they've got
at this time of year.
They've got nine events, so they've got almost a third of their schedule overseas at some point. Well, Hawaii as well, not necessarily overseas.
That's overseas.
But, yeah.
It is.
Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. It is technically overseas, although it is a state of the USA. Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic on ESPN Radio 760. The Tire Kingdom Leaderboard Report, brought to you by Tire Kingdom. Service, brakes, batteries, and more. Call 1-800-NEW-TIRE to be directly connected to your closest Tire Kingdom. And a real quick look at the Champions Tour before we break here. And Pat, the fifth major of the year. It's the fifth major on
Wait
the Champions
Wait a minute,
Tour.
Russ. Wait a minute. You're telling me something called the Constellation Energy Players Championship is a major.
That's right.
Are we going to have the Constellation Energy Masters? No.
I should
not a major, Russ. Not when you have a corporate name in front of it, especially that big. Not a major.
Pat, that's how they do it on the LPGA and the Tour and the Champions Tour. They have sponsored. They have the Weetabix Women's British Open, and they've got the Constellation Energy Players Championship. And that's going on this weekend in Maryland, 7,000-yard par 70, Baltimore Country Club track.
Nice.
Great course. And after three rounds of play, a local guy, Hope Sound resident, Nick Price leads at 202. He's had rounds of 70, 66, and 66. For some reason, the post doesn't put his score to par here. Do you notice that? They don't have a score to par. So 202, all right.
We got to guess that. So it's 8 under?
It's 8 under, yeah. It's 8 under par because it's a par 70. After three rounds of play, par would be 210. So Nick Price is at 8 under par.
They didn't do that for the PGA Tour
either.
Yeah,
but I saw it early, and then I figured it out. I did the math, but I didn't. And then I saw the LPGA Tour. They did it.
Budget cuts, Russ, I guess. Can't get the calculator out.
You can't have that extra line of print here in the post. All right, Price is leading. Wybring's one shot back in second. Three-way tie for third. Jeff Sluman and Gene Jones. And Pat, I know that you're excited. I am as well. The final major of the year in any of the three major tours, and it's the fifth major year of the year on the Champions Tour.
Absolutely ridiculous, Russ. I will never stop beating this drum until these guys realize Four is the number. It's been well documented. We've had it on the PGA Tour, the LPGA Tour. That's what it should be. That's enough. And then having corporate names in front of it, good Lord.
Right.
Can it really be a major if you're doing that? Just call it something else. But and having it at this time of year when you're competing against college football, pro football, baseball playoffs, it's completely – I watched a little of this yesterday, and you're right. The host club is beautiful. It's starting to turn fall there in Baltimore, so you're getting some change. It's really beautiful. I mean, watching the golf, but this time of year, just it's not conducive to watching golf. People want to watch football, and they want to watch, the baseball playoffs, and hockey and basketball are starting.
And NASCAR. I even slipped on NASCAR.
I was watching
night.
A little of that, too. So this is like way, way down the totem pole right now. And again, it's use your thinking cap, senior PGA Tour, Champions Tour commissioner, and figure out a spot to put this thing that people are going to watch it. There's plenty of time in the summer when there ain't a whole heck of a lot going on that you could do this. So.
Amen. Amen, brother. Preach on. Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. That was your Tire Kingdom Leaderboard Report, brought to you by Tire Kingdom. Service, brakes, batteries, and more. Call 1-800-NEW-TIRE to be directly connected to your closest Tire Kingdom.